right now.
This is
2FM's Game On.
Hello and a very big thanks to Demi and Mikey on the 2FM Drive team for getting the weekend underway. It is Friday the 24th of October, just 1 week away from Samhain and Halloween. And if you're listening to Game On with me, Andrew O'Connor, that means you are up for a treat because tonight we've got full coverage of tonight's crucial UEFA Nations League playoff first leg between the Republic of Ireland and Belgium. That is all to come from Lansdowne Road. I ask Alan Cawley if Shamrock Rovers will finally claim another League of Ireland title in Derry this Sunday. And Fergal Brennan joins us from Liverpool to preview another exciting round of fixtures in the English Premier League, while Jane Mangan runs the rule on the weekend's racing. As always, if you want to have your say, you can text us on 51552 or WhatsApp us on 087 187 9200.
This is 2FM's Game On.
Delighted to say, joined in studio by Alan Cawley, as we do our most Fridays. Alan, happy Friday.
Happy Friday, Andrew. Good to see you.
Great to see you. You're looking forward to a classic weekend of football, women's internationals, League of Ireland, Premier League.
Every weekend is jam-packed, really, isn't it? So I do look forward to them all, Andrew. But yeah, tonight it's kicking off, obviously, with the ladies' match in the Aviva. Big playoff game for them. So hopefully they can give a good account of themselves, get maybe a lead to go into the second leg as well. And then, obviously, the Premier League stuff. Big weekend in the League of Ireland, which we will discuss in terms of tonight's probably more the relegation side of things into the weekend. And Sunday, will Shamrock Rovers win, as you say, and then the European places? So, busy weekend.
Plenty to talk about. I'm going to make you earn your money very briefly. But first, let's go live to Lansdowne Road and join Adrian Eames, who's in great company. He's beside Rachel Graham. Adrian.
Indeed I am, Andrew, and we're enjoying the music and all the build-up here at the Aviva Stadium. Let's hope for a big crowd of people are in and around Dublin. Why not make it along to the Aviva Stadium and cheer on the girls in green? As you mentioned, a very important game for Carla Ward and the Irish team taking on Belgium over the course of two legs for a place in League A. That's the prize on offer. And the Irish team is in. We knew, of course, that Courtney Brosnan had been ruled out because of a knee injury. She's missed just one game in Ireland's last 42 internationals. So it's Grace Maloney who gets the shout to line out between the posts for Ireland this evening, her eighth international cap. And Anna Patton is suspended, so Caitlin Hayes comes into the team. I'll give you to you as it appears in the FEI press release. Grace Maloney in goal. Jessie Stapleton, Chloe Mustaki, good to see her in for her 11th international cap. Caitlin Hayes in for Patton. Aoife Mannion, Ruisha Littlejohn, Denise O'Sullivan. O'Sullivan herself just back from injury. Katie McCabe, of course, cap 99 for her this evening. Marissa Shiva gets a starting berth, and Kira Carusa and Emily Murphy make up the Irish starting 11. Rachel Graham alongside me. Rachel, what do you think of the team selected by Carla?
Yeah, look, I think the big one was who was going to start in goal. And look, what a huge night this is going to be for Grace Maloney. She's waited such a long time now to get this opportunity. She's been number two for a long time and probably a lot of pressure on her now. This is a huge game to come in after being out for so long. But, I mean, if you're a professional footballer and these are the chances you want, you have to play under pressure. And I assume it's going to be a back four. I think Mannion and Mustaki are going to be the two fullbacks. And I think for them, like, they're not the most attacking of fullbacks. So for me, I think Carla's probably setting up to say we'll be defensively sound in this game, won't lose anything tonight. And Mustaki and Mannion, they're not the kind of players who will overlap or get themselves up high up the pitch. So I'd say they're going to be behind the ball probably for most of the game. And it's probably no really surprises in the other areas of the pitch. I'd like to see McCabe higher with the pitch. Hopefully she can hurt Belgium a bit more than maybe she would be able to do at fullback. But I think they probably... big thing tonight is our bench is probably a lot stronger than it probably has been in the last while, and the likes of Jamie Finn back, Jessu. I mean, Jessu is probably one of the best players we have, so if we can get her on the pitch, it'd be great to see her back in Ireland green colours tonight.
How good are Belgium?
They are good, yeah. I think we're really up against it tonight, and look, we've seen them at the Euros, and look, they probably didn't, you know, steal the show at the Euros. They didn't get out of their group, but they're up against tough opposition. And to beat Portugal, okay, they lost heavily to Spain, but we're competitive with Spain for 60 minutes. So, look, I wouldn't be taking them lightly at all, no.
Yeah, Tessa Woolart starts for them, 94 goals, but they've got a lot of pace as well, don't they?
Yeah, and I think especially down their left side, they have a lot of pace, and that's maybe where the worry is for us. If, you know, if we get caught high and it's a ball in behind, we struggle a bit with pace in our back line. So my worry would be that, and the fact that she's gone with Mannion and Mustaki seems to be that they're not going to bomb our fullbacks on. They're going to be sitting in nice and tight, I'd say.
I mentioned as well that Denise O'Sullivan hasn't played too much football, but of course she absolutely adores playing for Ireland. Only about 20 minutes since August or so. Is that a concern for you over the course of two legs?
Look, it's obviously not ideal, but I think if you look at Denise O'Sullivan, like, she's the ultimate professional. I'm sure even if it was a case where she couldn't be training or she couldn't be running, she was on a bike or she was doing something to keep herself fit, and she's probably someone who's just kind of naturally fit anyway. So look, I don't, maybe you might not get 90 minutes. Obviously it's tough, it's a quick turnaround between now and Tuesday, but I think get the absolute most out of her we can. But look, I wouldn't be worried about what she was doing while she was in it. I'm sure she looked after her body as best she could.
You mentioned the Irish setup and what you feel will be the Irish approach tonight. So it'll be a somewhat cautious approach, but Carla said they wouldn't play with their backs to the ropes. They would try and have a go, but I presume you have to pick your moments.
Yeah, and look, you probably always say stuff in an interview, you know, that's going to sound good, but I think you're right. I think come into the game, you know, approach it defensively sound, and as the game goes on, if it starts to open up or you think you can go at them, then I would. But I think going into this game, it's two legs. Just don't do anything silly in this leg, I think.
Yeah, and in terms of the crowd, obviously we're hoping that there'll be a big crowd, but all the indications are around about 13,000 there or thereabouts. Is that disappointing?
It probably is a little bit, yeah, to be honest. And look, this stadium is obviously huge, and 13,000 is probably not going to look like a lot of people, but I think ideally you'd have somewhere between Talent and the Aviva size wise but look, nothing you can do about it now. Whatever here, whatever 13,000 come, just make it as loud as possible.
Okay, just one last question, Rachel. Remiss of me if I didn't ask you, Owen Whelan stepping away this week from Shelburne as manager. What's your view on that? Or?
Yeah, look, I think all managers, successful, unsuccessful, everyone comes to an end at some stage. And look, we won a cup under Owen, we won the President's Cup this year, but I just think between him and the club, you probably felt it was the right time for someone else to come in with the challenge of maybe winning a league for us.
Okay, but you'll be there next year anyway.
I can't say.
Okay, well, she'll be here this evening, Rachel Graham, part of our coverage, Andrew, of this match between the Republic of Ireland and Belgium. Two legs, of course, Aviva tonight and then Leuven on Tuesday.
Okay, and remember, both of those legs will be live here on Game on 2FM tonight. Of course, the kickoff at 7 o'clock. We will be back to Adrian Eames and the panel of Rachel Graham, as you heard, and Maeve de Burka. Coming up on commentary, JK, John Kenny will be joined by Sue Ronan. That is all this evening. And then on Tuesday, the reverse leg, the second leg in Belgium. We will be on the air as normal from 6 o'clock, and we'll be going right through to 10 o'clock this coming Tuesday as we take in that second. Anyway, let's go one leg at a time, and we will be talking a lot more soccer after this break.
Game on. Association football.
Association football, and who better to talk about association football than Alan Cawley. Alan, let's start with last night. Two Irish League of Ireland teams in Conference League action, and a little bit of heartbreak for both. Let's start with Shells. They went to Scindia, and they were doing so well. Nil all, approaching the 90 minutes. One of the players who just come on as a sub went down with an injury. They had to play on with 10 men. They're holding out and defending and defending and defending. And then an injury time own goal destroyed them.
Yeah, that's it, Andrew. It's the best time to score a goal, and it's also the worst time to concede one. So total heartbreak for Shelburne, especially the fact that you're going away from home, you're giving a good account to yourselves. They had just hit the post as well, thinking they may nick it themselves. And Scandia go down the pitch, and as you say, the concession of that, and more in the manner of how it came about. Obviously, it's not nice to concede at any time, but more so, it's even worse late in the day, and when it's one of your own players diverts the ball into the net through no fault of his own, Paddy. No. The ball is like really dangerous cross going across the face of the goal. He feels as though he has to clear it, potentially thinking there's somebody behind him, a forward ready to tap it in.
There could have been.
Which absolutely, yeah. So that's his first thought. Unfortunately for him, he diverts it into his own goal, and they lose because it's so late in the day. So disappointing for them.
And they played really well.
That's the thing, and I think that's what they'll focus on, Andrew. Like, of course, Joey O'Brien will be disappointed, as the players will, but I think they have to put that to bed fairly soon. Look at the positives in terms of how well they acquitted themselves at that level as well, which they're new to, unlike Shamrock Rovers. So I think there's lots to be positive about for Shelburne in going forward, and their run of form of late domestically has been very good as well, so I think they'll dust themselves off and they'll be fine.
Let's talk about Shamrock Rovers for the first time in this chat, not for the last. Last night, beaten 2-0 by Celje, who were well worth the win. But what's the story with the non-handshake afterwards? Bradley Claim and the Celje boss had no class.
Yeah, so there's two things really in that. I think we mentioned there with Shelburne that it was heartbreak. I don't think it was as much heartbreak from Shamrock Rovers, because they were well beaten. Celje were very, very good, Andrew. The lad that scored, Kovacevic, caused all sorts of problems as well up front. So I think they can have no complaints about the result. But this is stemming from a war of words which broke out last year between the two managers. Wow. And obviously it's carried over into that as well. I think Stephen is alluding to the fact that just some of the comments that the boss made Albert Riera. Liverpool fans will remember him for his time there. Made some comments about Steven just in relation to the fact that he's been here so long and kind of giving him a bit of a dig. But Steven came out afterwards, says, look, he has no class, basically, about the manager because of that. And look, these things happen, Andrew. I'm sure it'll be all fine.
And you can't beat a bit of personality clash.
Well, in terms, I think the biggest thing for Stephen is the fact that it's a tougher group for them this year. They've two defeats now on the board. They'll try and get points in the next game, but all eyes will turn to Derry on Sunday because that's a huge game trying to get the league title done. And just the last couple of weeks, like we would have been speaking maybe 2-3 weeks ago about them winning with a big gap in terms of winning the league, going towards winning a cup and winning a double and maybe potentially doing well in Europe. It's just kind of the wheels have come off just a little bit in that regard, so he'll want to get back on the horse as soon as possible, and no better place to do it than Derry on Sunday.
Before we get to that, quick word on Sean Dyche. First win in his first game as Nottingham Forest manager. That was in the Europa League. Villa losing to the Go Eagles. Yeah. And Celtic coming back to beat Sturm Graz 2-1, which was a good result, but it came at a huge price. They've three big injuries on the Celtic squad now.
Yeah, and especially when you look at things, what's happening domestically as well, none more so than Rangers are struggling really bad, but Celtic have also kind of hit a bit of a stopgap as well when you look at the problems they have, and Hart's doing really well domestically. So Rodgers under a bit of pressure, lots going on in terms of the protest towards the board as well, Andrew. But that was a big win to get the 3 points in Europe last night. Despite the injuries, but he'll have to just focus on trying to get back on track in the league as well.
Yeah, it was a feel-good atmosphere there.
They needed
at the end
that
of the
game.
Yeah, they did. Back to the League of Ireland, as you suggested, all eyes are really on Sunday for the Brandywell's game between Derry and Rovers. But we start tonight, Galway United and Drogheda United, 7:45 start.
Huge game, Andrew. As I said, tonight is all about the relegation battle down the bottom. Galway fighting for their lives, Waterford the same. Galway at home to Drogheda United. They're big favourites. I wouldn't have them as big favourites, to be honest, Andrew. Drogheda have had a brilliant season and still very much in the fight for the European places as well. And they've had a great year, Drogheda. So I think that's going to be a tough ask for Galway. Potentially maybe see a draw there. You go over to Richmond Park, then St Patrick's Athletic against Waterford. And they had a huge victory against Shamrock Rovers last week, coming off the back of the disappointment of the Cup semi-final as well, which was a cloud hanging over them. But that was a big win for them. And they're right in contention as well, Andrew. You look at them sitting on 50 points. Drogheda are sitting on 50 as well. So huge games for them in terms of the European stuff. But I would be focusing on Waterford trying to get themselves out of the mire that they're in. Galway do have a game in hand, but that game in hand is against Shamrock Rovers next Wednesday. So tonight they have to try and put the home advantage to best use and try and pick up, even if it's a point, just pick up something. Because Sligo Rovers, I'm heading to that game tomorrow night against Cork City, Andrew, and that's obviously the other game in terms of the three relegation teams that are fighting for that. That's a huge game as well. Cork already relegated, but Sligo Rovers have the opportunity home to a relegated team to try and get themselves out of the mire as well. So huge weekend. I think Sligo will win, I think St Patrick's will win, and I think it'll be a draw in Galway.
If everything you say happens, the Bohemian Shelburne game will be equally as important in terms of those European places. And if what you say happens, Bohs will have teams snapping at their ankles or even snapping above their heads at that point.
Yeah, they could be gone ahead of them. St. Pat's, that's what they'll be looking to do. Bohs are sitting on 51, Pat's on 50. So if they got the 3 points tonight, they'll go 2 points ahead, Andrew. And then all the pressure is on Bohs. Shelburne's week last week, they got 3 victories on the trot. Friday, Monday, Friday. 3 huge wins. It's given them a little bit of a cushion in that third position. So I don't think it's as serious for them if they were to slip up against Bohs on Sunday, because they'll still have the final day to get themselves across the line in the European places.
The 3-day turnaround is tough though.
It is tough, yeah. And that's why Bohemians will have to take advantage of that. But I think all the pressure is on Bohemians because they slipped up in the game last week against Galway, and then they drew with Pats on Monday night as well. So 1 point out of 6, Andrew, when you're fighting for Europe, that's not good enough. So there's huge pressure on them Sunday. I think Shelburne will have enough. I've given Derry enough, obviously Shamrock Rovers. I think it's between Bohs, Pats and Drogheda. It's a tough call.
Yeah, it is a tough call. And then Derry City, Shamrock Rovers. Can Derry? Yes, Derry can plausibly do this.
Absolutely, Derry can do this. Yeah, you look at, as I said, Shamrock Rovers the last couple of weeks, there's been a little hiccup, and that'll give Derry hope. And if they were to maybe just drag it out as long as they can, you look at their form as well, Derry. The last 7 matches, they've won 4, drawn 3. So they're in red hot form at home, a huge crowd. Still in their hands, if you like, Andrew. Obviously, it'll be dependent on favours because Shamrock Rovers have the game in hand next week. but all they can do is concentrate on themselves. And if they were to narrow the gap and win on Sunday, bring it back to 3 points, little bit of pressure that we like to see on the likes of Shamrock Rovers. So I think Derry have a great chance on Sunday and they have to make full use of it.
Alternatively, Shamrock Rovers, if they lose on Sunday, it might suit them to go home and lift the title at home against Galway on Wednesday.
I think at this stage, Andrew, because as I said, it's been a little hiccup. Because of that, I think Stephen Bradley won't care where it is or when it is. He just wants it to happen as soon as possible.
Okay, we're going to talk Premier League after this break.
Game on. Association football.
Welcome back to Game On. It is 23 minutes past 6 o'clock this Friday afternoon. Delighted to say, joined by Alan Cawley and indeed by Fergal Brennan. Fergal, happy Friday.
Happy Friday. How's things?
Good, good. All good with us. Sad news, first of all, Alan. Sheffield Wednesday in the Championship. They're having financial difficulties, deducted 12 points, and they're now minus 6 points in the table.
Yeah, very sad day for such a brilliant and historic club. I spent a couple of years there, Andrew, and to see them in the demise that they're in at the moment, it's just a brilliant football club in the wrong hands, unfortunately. And this has been kind of coming for a long time, inevitable really, with the owner Chancery. So I think the fans were boycotting the game during the week. There was only 7,000 at it, whereas tomorrow, because of this news breaking, they're going to get right behind the club, and I think it's going to be a sellout. As I said, of such a brilliant history, you'd love to see them get back on track, but I think it's going to be two steps back to take one forward, but at least now it's kind of out of his hands.
And speaking of another former club of yours, Legion United get the round of fixtures underway this evening at home to West Ham. Can they get back to winning ways?
Yeah, I think so. I watched West Ham on Monday night, Andrew, and it was probably one of the worst performances I've ever seen from a Premier League team. They were absolutely awful. So Nuno has a big job on his hand. He's obviously only gone in there. But I think all the focus, as you say, will be on Leeds, because they've had a decent enough start back in the division, acquitted themselves really well. So I think they'll be very happy about that, especially because there was a few question marks around Daniel Farke prior to the start of the season. But I think they've done okay. But you look at the last three games where they've only picked up 1 point. They'll want to get back to winning ways as quickly as possible and not get themselves into a bit of a rut. And no better opportunity, as I say, at home to a really struggling West Ham team who were, I think, fighting for relegation. Even though it's very early in the season, I don't think it's too far off the mark to say that, Andrew. So I think it's a real opportunity for Leeds tonight.
No early game tomorrow, Fergal, but 2 3 o'clockers, and Chelsea, who were in great form midweek in Europe, are up against Sunderland, who haven't had a bad start to the season.
No, they're almost the kind of blueprint for teams that have come up. We compare them to Leeds and Burnley, who've done okay. Sunderland have really made an impact. They've not completely compromised on the principles that got them promoted as well. They're still happy to be open when needed, but very, very resolute when they have to be. I don't, unfortunately, fancy them to get anything tomorrow, but that's more based on the strength of Chelsea, particularly at home. Enzo Maresca, difficult start to the season, but they've really, really steadied. They got a big help in hand in midweek, obviously, against Ajax with the player getting sent off. But three changes from them at half-time in that game shows that he has that depth of squad that he can rest players and look to keep them fresh for this weekend. So I'd be fully going for a Chelsea win. Sunderland know this is not where they expect to pick up points, though, to meet their objectives this season.
Alan, Newcastle have had a pretty poor start by their standards, and Fulham haven't been great either. They meet tomorrow at 3 as well.
Yeah, as you say, by their standards, and I think that's the key sentence really, Andrew, because under Eddie Howe, he's done a marvellous job. He really has since he's gone in. But the loss of Isak, I know Valdemende has come in and he scored goals. He's hit the ground running, to be fair to him. He's done well. But it has been a slow start by their standards. Now, they had a good win during the week in the Champions League against Benfica. You would hope that would kick them into gear. And again, it's a good opportunity at home to Fulham, who themselves have had a slow start, 8 games in, 8 points on the board. So I think Newcastle get the job. I'm a big fan of Eddie Howe, so I'd like to see him kick on up the table, because as I said, he's done a brilliant job since he's gone in there.
Now, Fergal, if you believe it or not, Manchester United have won 2 Premier League games in a row. Can they make it 3 against Brighton at 5:30 tomorrow?
They absolutely can. And I say that with all the confidence of someone that is very, very slightly believing in Manchester United right now. It is a mad statistic that they've only won 2 games in a row once under Amorim. And if they do it tomorrow against Brighton, that'll be a brand new record. I am only joking. I don't think Man United are back by any stretch, but they have improved. And, you know, you have to give credit where credit is due. Small improvements that they've made. I don't think it addresses almost any of the bigger questions. But Brighton have been a strange team so far this season. I don't think they're fully settled under Fabian Hürzeler. He probably didn't really meet expectations last season with the Seagulls. So it's difficult to kind of get a handle on them. They're not the team that they were from two or three seasons ago. And Man United, I think this is exactly what it is. That they've got a bit of confidence running through them now. I think they can get a result tomorrow. But then I equally think two or three weeks' time, they could lose a couple of games and it's back to square one. Nobody likes to be negative, but it takes a long time to solve big problems. But they have hit a bit of form and they do deserve a bit of credit for that.
And the problems are big, all right. A lot of attention on Brentford, Alan, from an Irish point of view with Keith Andrews there. They have a tough one. They're hosting Liverpool tomorrow at 8.
Yeah, great game for Keith Andrews, who's had such a good start. When you look at sitting 13th in the table, 10 points on the board, has been kind of, I suppose, all eyes were on him at the start of the season as to how he would do. I think, again, he's acquitted himself really well in terms of his communication and his media skills. Excellent. And how he's, as I say, getting his message across, not just to his players, as we can see on the pitch, but also to us who are tuning in, watching the games. And again, Monday night was a good example of that against West Ham. Got the victory that they fully deserved. I already mentioned how poor West Ham were. But a big challenge for them tomorrow against Liverpool. But one they'll fancy, because this isn't one that's going to judge their season on. This is like a bonus game, really, Andrew, for him in terms of his experience and what he's trying to build at Brentford. And they're good against the big clubs at home. Tough place to go. Liverpool, who we know have been in a bit of a struggle of late, but got back to winning ways in the Champions League during the week. The big thing for that was the fact that he played Ekitike and Isak up front together the other night and got Wirtz into the team as well. Will that be something that they look to do going forward? Because Ekitike has been the star, really.
Isak is injured now after the
But I heard today that they're saying he's still kind of, that he may be in contention, okay. Slot said. It may have suited.
He's 75% chance,
yeah, that
in fantasy terms.
He'll play, yeah. Andrew. But the big thing is whether he'll play the two of them together. It'll be interesting to see, but as I said, Keith Andrews has done great so far and hopefully that form continues for him.
And Fergal, Bournemouth, who haven't had a bad start, they're in third place on the table. They are hosting Nottingham Forest, who have Sean Dyche at the helm.
Yeah, and perfect start for Dyche last night against Porto. His first ever game at that stage of a European competition. And just listen to some of the interviews after the game. You can really see that he's gone in and done exactly what you anticipate him to do. Get the basics right, communicate his messages clearly to the players, get the media on side as well, which he's always been quite good at. I just listened to Morgan Gibbs-White in particular. I thought it was very, very interesting. He's looked lost this season. When you compare that to the back end of last season where he was driving forward and getting goals from midfield and being talked about as a real Premier League star. So Sean Dyche will come in and do what we anticipate at Nottingham Forest and improve their overall level without reinventing the wheel. As for Bournemouth, for me, probably the best manager outside the top five, top six in Andoni Iraola. Continues to impress despite all the exits from the Vitality over the summer. This could be a really interesting game on Sunday. It's kind of get lost in the noise a little bit because there's other ones going on, Arsenal, Palace, Everton, Spurs. But I do fancy Bournemouth probably just about to pinch it because they're quite strong at home. But Dyche, so far, so good at Forest. And he will be okay for them.
We're getting caught for time here, so we're going to have to hurry up. Wolves and Burnley, the bottom of the table clash. Wolves on just 2 points. No wins so far for them. They are playing 17th place Burnley tomorrow. Two big games tomorrow starting at 2. Arsenal and Crystal Palace and Aston Villa hosting Man City. Alan, how do you see them?
Yeah, huge games. Arsenal, who are my favourites to win the league and to keep, for me to get stronger and stronger as the games go by. You look at them dismantling Atletico Madrid during the week, the squad depth that he has, how strong, how powerful. They have all the attributes, Andrew. If you want to battle them and fight them, they can beat you in a physical challenge. If they want to play in a football match, they can do that as well. So I think Arsenal will get the job done there. Villa have picked up of late. It was a slow start by Emery's standards, but they've picked up of late, so that'll be a tough game for
City. Can they stop the machine?
I don't know, that's the question. Like, once he's in the form that he's in, he's almost unstoppable, Haaland, and he's carrying the fight almost single-handedly in terms of them being a potential title challenger, because I don't see anyone else maybe putting it up to Arsenal.
He's one of the best defenders on their field. If you watch him on corners or watch him Haaland. In defence, Haaland is brilliant this year in defence.
Yeah, and like, that's things that you need to add to your game as well. I watched a clip of Harry Kane last week in the game against Borussia Dortmund. He was doing everything, like, it just saw a world class footballer doing a bit of everything.
Do you think that's Roy Keane's fault for those comments a couple of years ago?
I would just hold judgment on that yet, Andrew. He's still the the machine of a goal scorer, but I don't think he's the all-round footballer yet. But doing his bit for the team defensively, that's what you have to do.
Fergal, before I ask you about Everton and Spurs, are you in agreement and Alan about the biggies going for 3 points on Sunday?
Yeah, I'd agree. They've been flawless so far, and I see no reason for that to change.
Okay, let's go on to the Hill Dickinson Stadium then for the last clash with Spurs, Fergal. Good start for Everton this season. Not brilliant, but good.
That's exactly right. Not brilliant, but good. They are unbeaten across all competitions. And there's always that concern in a new stadium. Will there be teething problems, particularly when it's so different? It's so fancy and shiny compared to Goodison Park. But David Moyes has really re-injected a bit of life into them. Jack Grealish and Iliman Ndjaya, throwbacks out wide, they'll cause problems for Tottenham. I expect probably Everton to at least not lose. I don't know whether they've got enough to go and win, but they are still very, very solid at home. The question for Spurs really is, how do they balance midweek Champions League against the Premier League? That's going to be an issue for them. They were poor against Monaco, just about managed to scrap out a draw. They don't have the deepest squad from all the Premier League teams in the Champions League. So a point for them on Merseyside would be a good result. But yeah, I would agree completely. Brilliant, but not good from Everton so far. That's the school report.
Okay. Fergal, thank you. And Alan, thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Andrew.
And Alan has a whip in his hand and a helmet on his head, which means it's time to go racing.
Game on. Racing.
Welcome back to Game On. It is time to look ahead at the weekend's racing action, and Jane Mangan joins us as she does every Friday. Jane, happy Friday to you.
There's a lot happening, Andrew. This is a busy weekend.
It is a very busy weekend. Let's start at Doncaster, because the Futurity Trophy is the big one there. But Aidan O'Brien has a big weekend because he is currently on, did you say, 22 Group 1s to me earlier on, and he's trying to equal or beat his record of 28 in the year. So how can he do that?
Yeah, well, the irony is, of course, he's trying to beat himself every day, such as his standards. So he's currently on 22 individual Group 1 winners trained for the calendar year. By the end of the calendar year, he will be hoping to have broken and beaten his own record that he set back in 2017 of 28 Group 1 races. But he's running out of time. So he this weekend has won in Doncaster, the Futurity Trophy that we will talk about momentarily. There's three Group 1s from Saint-Cloud in Paris. And then, of course, next weekend, all eyes will be on Del Mar, where he sends a strong team across to California. But this weekend, can he get a few more on the board? Well, Benevento Cellini is currently favourite at the Mount of Christophe Soumillon. A favourite ahead of Hawk Mountain, the impressive Beresford winner of the Mountain Ronan Whelan. And Action, he's fielding the first three in the market. Six runner field, he's got half the field, and the three are top of the market. Now, people listening might think, is there a realistic chance of him beating the record of 28? Well, when he won this race in 2017, he won it with a horse called Saxon Warrior. That was the record-breaking win of that time, because that was his 25th Group 1 win. Okay. So he's currently two behind the scale he was in 2017. This would be his 23rd Group 1 win. When he won it in 2017, that was his 25th. So he needs to keep up the momentum.
Okay, so he has half the field at that big race at Doncaster. And then two big races on Sunday in France. Saint-Cloud is how you pronounce it. Saint-Cloud is how it would look like if you're reading the newspaper or checking any website. But Saint-Cloud, it is called, and he's got some big hopes there.
Yeah, we say it with our best French accent and hope that we fit in. These are two-year-old Group 1 races. The criterium, the Saint-Cloud, is the 10 furlong race. He's won that on five occasions. He saddles Christmas Day and Pierre Bonnard, amongst others, in that. He's got, I think, four declared runners. Joseph O'Brien, Donica O'Brien sends across a boy named Susie, but I think Pierre Bonnard, the Mount of Christophe Soumillon, is going to be the one that they all have to beat. Earlier on that card, they have the Mile Group 1. That's the Criterium International. He saddles four in this as well. Piazza San Marco, New Zealand, Port of Spain, and Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico, probably most pertinently, has been supplemented for the race, and he's the choice of Christophe Soumillon as well. The other Group 1 on the card is the Pre-Royal Oak. It's the Stayers race. He's been quite weak in this division this year, Aidan O'Brien, given the fact that Kyprios has been sidelined all year. Small field of seven horses go to post. I think double major is going to be very hard to beat. Aidan hasn't won this since Yates back in 2008. And I don't think Queenstown is going to break that hiatus, shall we say.
Okay. And Cheltenham wasn't a good day for the Irish today, but the October meeting there continues over the weekend. Is there much Irish interest at Prestbury Park over that weekend?
So much interest. It's good that Cheltenham is back. There's big fields. I don't think it's the highest quality racing, but it definitely whets the appetite for the national season to come. Tomorrow, there's a lot to look forward to from an Irish perspective. The feature race will be the 220, the William Hill Handicap Chase. It's basically a stairs handicap chase worth over 50 grand. Emmett Mullins saddles Sea Music. Ian Dunhuth sends across Dunboyne. Danny and Tom Mullins team up with Facile Mode. Henry de Bromhead is sending over a contingent this weekend. The Short Go will represent him and Dara O'Keefe in this race. And Emmett Mullins also has Back Me or Sack Me, the mount of the champion jockey Sean Bowen, who's riding oh so well at the moment. People listening in will be thinking, well, is Gordon Elliott and Willie Mullins represented? Yes, they are. In the handicap hurdle, Willie Mullins and Patrick Mullins team up with Chart Topper. Gordon Elliott sends Winning Smut with Jack Kennedy. Of course, they're fresh from their five-timer in Maryland last weekend. There's any number of Irish contenders going across the Prestbury Park, and no doubt plenty of the fans will be watching in as well.
I know you love flat racing, but is there something about the start of the national hunt season that gets you very excited?
I'm not excited yet. I think I'll be excited next weekend when Down Royal starts and you have the Grade 1, which will probably feature Hewick and Croke Park and a couple of the proper heavyweight horses. And then once the rain comes, and we hate the rain, and next week the clocks will change, that's when you know it's National Hunt, because the ground gets soft and the good horses start to run. I don't think this weekend we will see the big stars. I think that's coming in the next couple of weeks.
Okay, this is the disclaimer. The clocks go back tomorrow night, okay? So yes, tomorrow night the clocks go back, just in case, Jane. We can't be blamed for anyone getting up late on Sunday morning and missing the Dublin Marathon or something big. So yes, clocks go back fall back tomorrow night, some ungodly hour on early on Sunday morning or late on Saturday night. Anyway, before we let you go, domestic action is at Galway and Wexford for both days this weekend, and there'll be plenty of people going along there.
There will indeed. As I said, there's plenty of rain falling in the west of Ireland in particular, and there's some nice racing at Galway this weekend. Watch out for those beginners chases and maiden hurdles. You could probably see a horse you want to follow for the winter. And if anybody's listening in, they're thinking, well, give us one for the weekend, I think Ken Buds is a really good chance with Anyway in the 4:05 at Cheltenham tomorrow. It's a novice chase. He just never turned up in the Kerry Nationals for whatever reason, but Darrow O'Keefe booked. I think Anyway might be the one at Cheltenham.
And if you ignore the word of Jane Mangan, then you're a fool. God damn it, you're a fool. Thank you, by the way, Jane. Have a great weekend. And after the break, we will be live at Lands End Road.
Game on.
Racing.
This is
2FM.